Good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll get into Romans 12, 1 and 2. Again, it's kind of a review because I was at a different pace initially, but I really want to glean from you other applications from Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then also want to talk a little bit about 1 John and the blessings of being a believer. And we'll start there this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather with your people this morning. We are called your children. We have been set free from our sin. We've been justified in Christ. We've been given your word, absolute truth, infallible truth. And because of that, we walk in truth now. We walk in the light, as you've promised us, that those who know you walk in the light. Thank you for your Son and his sacrifice on the cross for our sin. Thank you that our sin has been removed from us. It's been nailed to the cross, that we have, as Christ died and was rose again, we too are buried in baptism and risen in newness of life. We thank you that that's our hope. We now look forward to the sanctification that you have promised, that we would become transformed, conformed to the image of your Son. We thank you that we're filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can understand your word. We can practice and obey your word. And we pray this morning that you would help us to see the blessings of being a believer, the mercies that we've received, and that we would be able to share and to encourage one another. And so we thank you for this time together. In Christ's name, amen. Well, anyone that was here last Sunday morning, do you have any questions or comments or things that you observed as I went through the scriptures a little differently? I tried to start with a gospel presentation just to kind of put everybody in the right area when we were going through. How did we get from Romans 6 to Romans 12 to Colossians 3? And so I kind of gave that a little bit of a summary there. Any thoughts or any comments or notes that you guys took that you'd like to share? That's all right. You don't have to. We'll get back into it. Okay. Well, this morning, I'd like to read just a few verses, just the first two, just to set our minds on this transformation, this change in us. We're commanded, we're urged by Paul to present ourselves holy, a holy and living sacrifice. And so we're going to explore that. We're going to look at the mercies of God. We're going to look at the blessings of a believer. And you will remember them because John Adamson took you through 1 John. And we'll start there and then we'll get into some of the other things that were the mercies that we received. So Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, out of the New King James. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so our command here is we're being urged by the mercies of God to live differently in this life. And so as a review, let's turn over to 1 John. And we're going to learn the blessings, some of these mercies that we've received. And John doesn't necessarily call them mercies. John just simply says, this is the life of a believer. But I think what you're going to find, if I use the word mercy, that it correlates really well. In 1 John chapter 1 through 4, the mercy that we have here is we have fellowship with the apostles. We have fellowship with the apostles. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That's verse 2. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that our joy may be full. And so here we have the blessing of fellowship. The blessing of fellowship with the apostles. We believe what they teach. We believe what they saw. We understand the things that they have declared to us. And because of that, because they have handled the word of God, they have handled the Lord, they have seen him and touched him, they tell us that if we believe what they believe, that we have fellowship with them. And the good news of having fellowship with an apostle is that we know 11 of them are in the presence of God today. And that is a blessing for us. We know what they know, and what they know they have taught to us and we believe what they believe. And that is a great mercy, because these men walked with Christ, and yet we are the ones that have come behind them and learned from their teaching, their apostleship, their writings. Peter says, you know, you continue in these things until the day, till the light dawns in the morning. I love this passage. Just thinking we're in darkness, we've walked in darkness, and then all of a sudden a light comes, right? The light of the world. 2 Peter chapter 1, we have heard the voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we're going back to this transfiguration event. Peter says, I was there. I was there. I heard the voice from heaven. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 continues. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. One of the mercies or the blessings of being a believer is that we have God's actual breathed word to us. And that is a massive blessing that we now have. Another blessing that we have is we know the truth and we walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, 6 through 8. I'm basically going to just go through John, if any of you are wondering, and give you these mercies that we've received. If we say we have, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We also have John 3:21 along the same lines. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This light that we have is the ability to keep his word, to see our sin, to be able to understand the word of God. We understand Christ. And so that is another mercy that we have. We have truth. Imagine that we don't live and walk in futility, right? As we read in Ephesians 4. We don't. The Christ that we received has given us truth. It's strengthened us. It's given us courage. It's given us the ability to say, I'm going to hold on to Christ, because he is the truth. He is the only way that I'm going to make it. And so we have that great confidence that we are founded. Our rock is on him. Our strength is in him. And so that's a mercy that we have. We don't get blown around by every wind of doctrine. We don't get tossed to and fro. We know who our Savior is. We know that we hold to him. The believer holds fast to Christ. And so that's one of the blessings of being a believer, a mercy that God has given us. 1 John 1:9. I consider this a wonderful blessing, a wonderful mercy. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blessing here, the mercy here as a believer, so we see our sin. What a blessing it is that when our heart is pricked and when we have either violated our trust or we have sinned against God, that we see it. What a blessing that is. Because if we didn't see it, we'd be like everyone else. We'd be walking in futility. We would be walking aimlessly. We would think that our sin is okay. And so we have a blessing that we see our sin and we confess it. I consider that a mercy. Does anyone else see it as a mercy? Right? It's a blessing. And then we have an advocate, right? Chapter 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. Not only do we have the ability to see our sin and to confess our sin, which means we can make things right, right? Things are broken. Things get messed up. We don't always talk properly. We don't always act properly. But we all have a commonality, and we all have Christ. We all have received grace. We all have received forgiveness. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians kind of the same thing. He says, forgiving one another, be patient with one another, because God was patient with you. And so we have that same blessing here. We have an advocate. We've actually been assigned someone to represent us before the Father. And that's kind of beyond our understanding, to understand how the Father, the prayers of the Holy Spirit go to the Son, and the Son presents them to the Father. And God looks upon his Son when he thinks of us. It's a mercy that we just walk in every day. Every day you wake up and the Spirit reminds you to pray. It reminds you. He reminds you to speak in love. He reminds you to serve. He gives you strength to get here this morning. These are all things that If we didn't have the strength to get here, we wouldn't be here. We've been given strength, not only physically strength, but we've been given a mind that is set on Christ. And that's also a wonderful mercy. We keep God's commandments. That goes along with keeping God's commandments. 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 6. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. It's a great mercy that we know his commandments. If I was telling you, you know, you're going to please me as my child, you're going to always do the thing that's right, and then I don't tell you how to do any of that, you're going to frustrate your child. You're going to frustrate your friend. If they don't know anything about you, you're going to frustrate them. But God has given us his word, he's given us his commandments, and he has promised us that we would know them. We would know them. A transformed mind, a mercy of God, is that we know how to please him, right? Going back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, we know how to please him. What's good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, or the end that God is looking for. We know how to please him. I think that is understated. We've been mature believers for a long, long time. And so we know what pleases God. What are the things that please God? Make a list for me.
A contrite heart.
A contrite heart. Yeah.
Prayer.
Yeah. We ask him for things. We ask him to accomplish his will. What other blessings or commands do we know of God?
Walk by faith.
We walk by faith and not by sight. We're able to trust God for everything. Yeah.
Love one another.
Yeah, the love is the biggest thing. That's what John hits over and over. We're going to get to that blessing. The mercy here is that we have a love for our brothers and sisters. I've never known you. I've never known any of you until about 8 years ago. Some of them less than that. And yet, we love each other. We're here to serve. That is a mark of a believer, is that we love one another. And we also are willing to sacrifice one another. We're able to do the hard things with one another, walk through life with one another. We get that in Romans 12. We'll get there, of weeping with one another, rejoicing with one another. That's just what believers do. They just hang out. That's part of their life. Their life becomes the fellowship with the body. What other blessings, commandments do we understand about of God? Gathering. Giving.
Knowing that he's with us. Never
knowing his will.
Never leave us.
Yeah.
We meditate on him.
Yeah, what are the blessings of meditation that we've learned in our lives? We meditate on them. What do we get from meditating?
Sanctification.
Yeah.
Peace. Strength.
Yeah. How is it that you read his word and think about it over the course of a week or a month, and yet it brings great resolve? It's somehow health to you, strength to your bones, right? He promises it will be. We have a purpose. We talked a little bit of futility, and I loved some of the other speakers, some of the other pastors had mentioned this. When you're old, you're not used up. When you're old, you're well-refined. Well-refined.
Christians don't retire.
Christians don't retire. Yeah, you're still here. You have something to do. You can disciple others. You can love others. You can do those things. You've been through it. You're solid. You're stable. Young men need you. We're able to keep these commandments. That is the blessing that we get. We get to keep these things. These are on our heart. All the things we talked about, prayer, sanctification, meditation, they're on our hearts. It's in our minds. It's in our will to do. We desire to do these things. And these are the blessings of being a believer. We're not distracted by the world. That's a huge blessing. I haven't thought about, well, you know what? I need to get away on a vacation because I've just been serving in God's church too much. It's never crossed my mind. I would love to get away from work, but I'm like, well, I'm also honoring the Lord in my work. So I need to go provide for my family, and I need to take care of my family. So work becomes a blessing too. It's an opportunity for God to use me and to provide for me. So that's a blessing that I have as well, that I know his will for me. Go to work, come home, lead your family, take your family to church, bring your family to serve the Lord. We can keep these commandments. Not only can we do them, but we can keep them. They can become a part of our life. They can become a part of our routine. They become something that sustains us. I think last Sunday I talked about how the world lives in their sin. They rest in their sin. Where do we rest? We're talking about peace. We rest knowing that this is a blessing. Like, being here this morning is what my life is about. And people may think that's crazy. They may think, well, you're not enjoying anything. You're listening to a guy tell you that you're a sinner and you need to repent. Absolutely. Going back to 1 John 1:9, it's a blessing to be able to confess your sin. Like, I get to see them. And the goal is, the end goal, according to Romans 12:2, is that we get to see what God is doing in our lives, the conformity to His image, to His purpose.
He does forgive us.
Yeah.
We're
forgiven. Yeah, that's a gospel presentation. You know why I confess my sin? Because I know I'm forgiven. How about you? Would you confess your sin? We love our brothers, another blessing we have. 1 John 2:8 through 11. John talks about this over and over. A new commandment I write to you, verse 8, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. He who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The blessing is that we love one another, and we're not stumbling around trying to figure out why we don't like you, and why do I like him, and why do I not like her, and why do I not like people? John destroys that. He destroys it. It doesn't even exist in the life of a believer. That somehow I'm walking in the light and I am confessing my sin and I have fellowship with apostles and I hate my brother and my sister. I know we use the word hate. And sometimes I tell people, hate just means you think less of them. That's what the meaning John hears. But we use that English word hate. So it sounds strong. I don't really hate you. I just don't really like you. Well, that's hate. I don't prefer you. Yeah, that's hate. That's what John's saying. Look, think less of you. I think less of you. That's the word hate. I think less of you. I know I'm up here, but I think a little bit less of you. And John says, you're walking in darkness. You're stumbling. You sound like a fool. I mean, I'm imposing that upon the text here. But you do. You're futile. I love the Lord, but yet I'm going to tell you that I can't love you. This is difficult for those who are walking in this darkness, because they really simply can't see that it's not a proper response of a believer to not like another believer, to not prefer others. In fact, we're commanded to love, or to think as God thinks, agape love, which is to think well of another, to think, wow, I want you to have the good things in life. I want you to be blessed with the things that I have. I want you to share. I want to see God's, one of the biggest blessings that we get as believers, we get to see others be blessed with the same things that we have. The things of the world, right? The things of life. We also get to see them understand Scripture like we've come to understand. And that is a wonderful thing when your children and your friends start to understand the things that God is teaching them. That is a blessing. It's a blessing to see that. And so, John, the blessing here is that we love one another, and it's real. It's a love that is tangible. It's a love that does something. It says, I'm going to smile at you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to serve with you. I'm absolutely being okay. I'm okay just being in your presence. I can just sit here in peace and be with you. I can sing with you. I can serve with you. There's nobody I won't serve with. Nobody. That's the life of a believer. I'll serve with you. Yep, we'll do the hard thing. We'll do the easy thing. Yeah, we'll do this together. That is this honoring the brother that we're going to talk about in just a few weeks. And when we get into verse 10, honoring one another just simply says, God has called you. That's enough. God has saved you. That's enough. And so John just tells us, if you love your brother, you abide in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling. You've become a mature man when you can love everyone. That's a blessing of being a believer, is our love for each other, our love for one another. We don't walk with all of these issues between one another. We have learned to love them and to accept them. And in John, 1 John chapter 5, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. The command is very clear. If you're a believer, you love those that God has saved. It's John would have no other way to be able to identify believers other than to say, yeah, you love. I can tell that you love everyone here. I can tell that. I can see that. We have learned to overcome sin. I love this little passage in 12 through 14. We have learned to overcome sin, and we know Scripture. That's one of the blessings I identified in 1 John chapter 2, 12 through 14. We have the spiritual. We have this. What is the state of believers, young and old? And John tells us, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father." I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. He says it again. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. What a blessing to be young and to be old and to be in Christ. The young men have overcome. They see that their life is flourishing in God. They see what God is doing in their lives, that their lives are building. They have families that they attend to. They have work that they're doing. The fathers, they know Him as Him who is from the beginning. It's a blessing when you're an older man, when you're a mature man, that you get to, you know, Scripture from beginning to end. You can tell the stories of the Bible. You can share that with others. You've overcome sin. You've seen, I as a 40-year-old man, have seen God help me overcome sin in my life. And I can tell that another young man, the same thing with their children or with their wives, how they speak or how they treat their children, how they discipline. I can tell them, yeah, this is how I overcame. I continued to grow and to be sanctified, continued to work through this. And now we have great confidence because we've seen God. We've seen God help us to overcome. I think that is a wonderful blessing that we have in life, is that we have seen where God has taken us from. And the older that we get, we realize, wow, every day behind me, God has provided and cared for me, taking care of me. Any other thoughts there from some of the younger ones and the older ones?
David, do you think that that's age, or do you think that's spiritual maturity?
Yeah, I think it's both. Yeah, I think it's both. I think I can make the case. Since you're talking about young men and children and old men and fathers, yeah. You know, a young man can be very well skilled in the Word of God, and he hasn't been married and had children. He's definitely well versed in the Scripture, and he understands who is from the beginning. But as you know, as we get older, we get more experiences. Yeah. I've seen all of these things in my life. I realized, looking back at some of the childish sins I had, I was grateful that God forgave me of some of the simple things that just tripped us up. Yeah. Any other questions, comments? See the blessings in our lives as we progressed? I think all of us as believers have seen our lives grow. He truly is providing for us. He's caring for us. He's giving us what we need. We know Him who is from the beginning. We know Him who has helped us overcome. Overcoming the wicked one. It's important for young men. That's why I kind of think that age is also a part of this. Young men have a lot to overcome. Pride, selfishness. They have to learn that the world isn't going to hand you the world all in the first day. Right? You're going to have to work for it. You got to stay focused. You can't be using your youth and your strength to enjoy and party and live without boundaries. And I would say that there was a time when I realized the only thing that was important in life was serving and working, and I didn't have a family at the time. I didn't get married until I was 27. So I realized I needed to stay away from things that were bad and hold fast to things that were good. And so that's how I overcame. I just didn't get myself in places that I shouldn't be. So it's a great blessing. It's a great encouragement as well as I talk to other young men. Because I get to say, yep, you can do this. You can just simply focus on these things until the Lord prepares you for what's next in your life. I hope we've all seen that. The Lord's kept us from things. That's also a huge benefit that I didn't include here. But there are things that I never got that I'm so glad I never got. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thinking back in your life of people that you, as a young man, young girls that you liked. You're like, thank God I didn't go down that road with her. I didn't know the Lord shut that door, however you want to look at it. Thankfully, I got to Jessica, and I have four daughters, right? What would your life look like if you took the other detour, if the other road somehow was allowed to you? Where might have you been? I am definitely seeing that as a massive blessing, something that you can encourage others for. Stay focused on the Lord. So we've overcome sin. We know the scriptures. That is a wonderful blessing. It means that we're going to get there. We tell the younger believers, we say, you're going to get there. Continue to do these three things. You come here, you take care of your business in the world, to take care of yourself, and you take care of your family. And if you do those things and you fellowship, you'll find that your life is full. And just continue doing those things. Continue doing those things. And you'll see that God is maturing you. God is bringing you to the end that he desired for you. The teleos, right? Chapter 12, verse 2. That's a blessing we have. We no longer love the world. I think this one's an easy one. In my Bible, I need to turn the page here, but it's the same idea. You've overcome. You've overcome sin. You've known him from the beginning. And the first thing that John hits right after that is you don't love the world. We don't love the world. This is the world. This world means cosmos. It's more of the things of the world, as it says here. It's, you know, this thing's passing away. The mountains, the trees, this stuff is all going to be renovated. It's all going to be changed. But we don't love the world. The things of the world that we don't love, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. And he who does the will of God abides forever. The blessing that we have is that we no longer consider this world valuable. Not in its things, right? The most important, most valuable part of this world is people, service, spiritual service. The blessings of being a believer is that the world no longer has a place in your heart. And I hope we've all seen that. We're all here this morning to hear the word of God and to be strengthened by it. We no longer love this world. What are things that you have seen in your life that have changed? What do you love now that you used to realize, I don't love that anymore. Now I understand the blessings of Christ. What are some of those things?
Seeking advice from those in your church who are well seasoned, mm-hmm. instead of going to social media or the current culture for how to advise you to raise your kids or be mm-hmm. married or things like that.
We realize the world doesn't really have an answer, a good one. There's a form of wisdom, right? There's a form of wisdom that's out there.
In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart, be not on your own
understanding. Yeah.
Follow him all your ways.
Yeah.
He'll direct you.
Yeah. He will direct us. We've learned to just trust. We've learned to trust that, yeah, we don't understand what's going on in the world. Christians aren't meant, are commanded not to love the world, not to be conformed to the world. I mean, those are both aspects of the world, the things of the world, and also the ways of the world. And we're not to even accept those. They're not truth. And so now we have this blessing that we follow the Lord and we learn his word. We no longer love this world. I think that's something that I've spent a lot of time putting in my children's mind, of this 1 John 2. We don't love this world. It's not going to last. It's not meant to last. Creation wants the same renovation that we have gotten, that we've been given, right? In Romans 8. It's like creation is waiting and longing. And we have the spirit within us that's longing. Like everything that is eternal wants to be with God, and it wants to be in God's presence. And so we realize that that's where we want to be. We want to be with the Father. We want to be with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. And we want this world, if this world is passing away, we certainly don't want to hang on to it. And so John just tells us not to love it. He ends his epistle, keep yourself from idols. Just don't let anything in your heart. Don't have affection for anything in this world. Keep yourself from idols. It's just simply not worth it.
Not now, but in times past, we were all disobedient to the word.
Yeah. Yeah. Not now. Another blessing we have, just continuing on through here, one of the mercies we've received as a believer is we're not deceived by false doctrine. We hold fast to the teaching that we've received. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We have an anointing that abides in us. Like these are just, what's the word? It's just overwhelming blessings. You can listen to someone and say, that isn't right. That doesn't work. That's not true. You can see that. And your mind will default to Scripture. It'll say, oh, this is why it's not true, because God says this. And so that's a blessing we have as believers, that we actually can hear the truth, know the truth, keep the truth, understand it. 1 John 2:27 says that but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as is taught you, you will abide in him. I attended the Church of Christ. And as I read the scriptures, I realized what these guys were saying doesn't work. Can't have music. You're in sin. I can't find that in the Bible. In fact, Ephesians says, speak to one another in psalms. And I just simply said, a psalm is a song played with music. I can listen to Hank Williams Jr. on the way to church. I can listen to Hank Williams Jr. on the way home from church. But if I bring an instrument into church, I'm a sinner. It's true. It's absolutely true. I don't know if it's absolutely true. That's a little bit over. I'm overdoing it a little bit. But that's what I learned. I'm like, that's not what I've received. That's not what Christ would say. Don't take of the Lord's Supper. You could be in very much trouble if you're not attending church. Take the Lord's Supper. Take it every week. I didn't really understand this part of their belief system until after, because I was like, you're really telling me that this is going to cause a loss of grace or some salvation issue, and I never really understood why they did all the way they did it. Even there being there 18 years, I didn't really know what their statement of faith was. And so that was something I didn't understand. Now we take of the Lord's Supper. We're commanded to gather. We're commanded to remember the Lord's body. They also had a belief in, they were all millennial. So they simply didn't take any of, they figured everything was fulfilled in 70 AD. And all I kept telling them was, well, that's the scripture says that the Spirit's going to be poured out in the last days, that we have the whole book of Revelation that gives us the tribulation. Talks about these things haven't happened. They're not recorded in history. What are we talking about? And so as I just simply read the scriptures and I compared it to what they told me, I realized that you've just made this up. You just haven't touched it. And so that was a blessing that I had. I clung very strongly to John 2:27. But I realized that the anointing I had was showing me that their scriptures were in direct contradiction to what they were teaching. And I realized that they were wrong and that I needed to hold fast to this. And I think what is strong here, what the blessing is that you hold on to God. You hold on to the word that you've received. Paul says the form of doctrine. He says it over and over, the pattern of doctrine, the form of doctrine, the Christ that you've received. These are all the same. This all this word of receiving the form, receiving the pattern of Christ in us and being able to say, this is the Christ I've received. He's right here. He's written. Election isn't something that I made up. Election is something that Ephesians clearly describes. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't earn the salvation. Baptism doesn't save us. That was the other part of the Church of Christ. Being baptized was required for salvation. That doesn't make any sense. You have to be regenerated first before you can come to faith. And so you get this argument and you're just like, you guys can't see it. You can't see it. You can't see it. And so we do. We have the anointing. But the other blessing here is that we're not deceived by false doctrines. 1 John chapter 2, little children, it is in the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which you know that is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. I think the blessing here is that the false teachers, you'll see them. They're going to reveal themselves.
I think that when you look at social media today and you look at the churches, the Holy Spirit helps you to identify what's true and what's not true. But I see so much of worship is about worshiping on Sunday mornings, you come to church to worship God. And so that's what we're doing, and he's the center of our worship. And in some of these large churches, they promote love a lot, and I think people are deceived by that, mm-hmm. because if you look at them, you look at their praise teams, or you look at their worship service, it's more man flesh centered than and look like the world, because they have torn Levi's and they have, oh, so I say to myself, that's looking like the world, right? I mean, I'm not saying you can't wear a Levi, got a hole in it. I'm just saying that's what they're promoting. They're not promoting God. They're not lifting him up. They're lifting themselves up. So, but there are so many people, I think, that are deceived by this.
Yeah.
Because those churches have lots of people in them. It's the, you know, the gate's narrow.
Yeah, the gate's narrow. Yeah, that's...
And there's a wide gate.
If many are going one direction, it's likely that that's not the narrow way. Mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 4, you guys all know the scripture. They are of the world. Well, back up into 4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. This is talking about Antichrist. He picks up the word Antichrist or false teachers just a few chapters over, and he says exactly that. The world hears you. They're listening to what you have to say. You're being filled with people in the world. Is that a response of false teaching or true teaching? Because a believer is coming to Christ and confessing sin. These are the blessings. These are the mercies that we have. They love the brothers. They're serving the Lord. They understand God's word. And so the world hears them because they speak what the world wants to hear. Right? If I started out this with God is love. I mean, John is talking about love. You used to call me a false teacher. That's how fast it'd be. But if I just simply said, you know, God is love. John is saying, hey, God is love. You come however you want. You know, you sanctify kind of however you, whenever you feel like it. You know, there's things in the world that are really valuable. There's things that, you know, that are important. But the Lord will lead you. He'll guide you. It's okay. You'll kind of figure out how to get to where you need to go. You'd be like, David, man, that's bad. That's really bad. And you'd probably tell somebody else how bad I was. And I'd be meeting with the elders and they'd be saying, David, that sounds like the world would agree with you. And I'd be like, yeah, they don't. Aren't we filled with the world now? numbers mean a lot. If the world is hearing what you have to say, there's many of them that are listening to you. Verse 6 of 1 John chapter 4, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. Us is the apostles. They're teaching what they've heard from Christ directly. Christ to the apostles, to the words in front of our eyes. He who is not of God does not hear us. He who is not of God does not hear us. What is the mercy here? That we hear the apostles' teaching. We hear the voice of God through the word of God. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We hear the apostles' teaching, who got it directly from the Holy Spirit through Christ. We have the mind of Christ in us, so we can understand his word, according to 1 Corinthians 2. And we know the spirit of truth, and we know the spirit of error. That is the mercy that we have received. It is absolutely okay, like you said, to wear Levi's. What is not okay is that we make this about us. And we also make it about a gospel. We create a gospel that's not a real gospel. That says, well, you know, you can kind of earn your way. You can kind of do a little bit of this, and God wants you blessed. He wants you prospered. He wants you to work these things out over time. Sanctification does take time, but it requires you to learn the Word of God and to know His Word. And the sign of a believer is that they hear the truth and they obey it. That's again these blessings that we have. I know a lot of us take these things and we just do them automatically, and yet that's not so with the world. So we're grateful that God's people hears God's voice. Christ promises that we would hear His voice, and so we're not deceived by false teaching. We certainly all have to grow. That's not the solution here, and we can't just say we're not deceived. Yeah, there are things I still don't have proper. I don't understand properly, but I'm promised that I have the Spirit within me to guide me and to teach me. I'm promised that other men and other women will speak into my lives and help me when I'm short in my understanding. But what I certainly can see is false teaching. And that's a blessing that we have. That's a mercy that we have. If we did not have a way to know the difference between a true teacher and a false teacher, we would be in trouble. And that is not what God has done for us. So we would know that we'd be in trouble, because He made sure that we would have His Spirit in us to guide us, right? If we didn't have His Holy Spirit, we would be exposed to the world. And we would be exposed to these false teachings. So we're now no longer, we aren't deceived by false teaching, because we see who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. That's kind of finishing up the blessings that we have in 1 John 2:18-23. If we stick on the idea of Christ, if we have Christ, what would Christ say? He would say, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Confess your sin. You have to be contrite. The blessing is we have a heart that's hurt. We love our brothers. We believe the Word of God. We accept the Word of God. We've overcome sin. We pray. We confess our sins. Right? These are the blessings that a believer has. These are the mercies we've been given. And so those things show that we've been changed. We purify ourselves. 1 John 3. These are the blessings of a believer. We pure ourselves, and we abstain from sins and obey the Lord. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Going back to what Candy was describing, what is the response of a believer to the Word of God? What is the response of a believer to the truth of God? The hope that we have? We're going to purify ourselves. Sanctification. We're going to know His Word. We're going to obey it. We're going to keep it. That's what John is saying. You're going to keep His commandments. You're going to walk in love. You're going to love one another. These are the blessings and the mercies of God. The mercy is that we can do them. The blessing is that this is what our life is to be about. That's what the life of a believer looks like. Is that we're able to love the Lord and to leave the world behind. We show love in the deeds as well as our words to our brothers. This is 1 John 3:17-21. We see our brother in need. We desire to help. We desire to come along and to give and to be charitable. We call our brother, even those of the lowest, even those that are of humble means. We see them as an opportunity. See it as an opportunity to love them and to share with them. We don't pass through. We don't pass by. I think that this would be evident in how much we accumulate for ourselves and how much we store up for ourselves. Those things aren't, that's not where our true treasure is. Our treasure is in, we have a heart to give and a heart to love. Do not love in word or in tongue, verse 18, but in deed and in truth. And this is how we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before Him. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. Whatever we ask from Him, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. The believer in Christ has learned what to pray for. It's another blessing that we have. Do we pray for wealth? Doesn't seem like a thing that we've been asked to pray for. What does God command us to do? Be rich in good works. Do we pray for health? Yeah, I think we can. Do we pray for strength? Pray for strength to get up. Pray for strength to get here, to serve the Lord, to serve one another, to love one another. I see that my prayers are less about getting things and more about changing and being different, being more holy. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be loud. I don't want to be unkind. I want to be a shepherd who is loving and considerate and helpful. Right? Our prayers change. Our hearts change. We get to see that. Yeah.
Yes, I see these verses here, 3:1-3, as being in God's family. I mean, that He has invited us into mm-hmm. His family. The God, the creator of everything,
yeah.
has invited us into His family, and we're called His children. That's why nobody knows us, because we're God's children. And the other verses that we'll be like Him, we'll see what He does, we do what He does, just because He's our Father. And His children obey their father at many times. Walk in the same way their dad does.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're to do. We're God's children. It's such a privilege to think and to know that we're in God's family. I mean, this is such a special,
yeah.
special relationship that He has just for us. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's neat.
A father that knows how to give good things to his children. Mm-hmm. A father that knows how to discipline us properly. Discipline is a blessing. That's not included here. Not included in John's words, but we know that it's a blessing to be disciplined by God. Be convicted. We have the conviction part that John gives us. He just says, you'll be convicted of sin. But what a blessing it is to be corrected.
In Psalms, in Proverbs, if the father doesn't love you, he lets you do whatever. But if he loves you, he corrects you and guides you in the right way.
Yeah. Hebrews 12 says that it brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness, holiness, sanctification. Right? We are becoming more like Christ. I think if we're telling what mercies have we received, these mercies are that we know His voice, we are His children, and that He deals with us as sons. He deals with us as children, as His own children. And He wants what's good for us, and He is making us, He's disciplining us towards Christ-likeness. Christ is the goal. So we don't need to worry about the goal. The goal is to be perfect like Christ is perfect. And so we're headed down that road and that path. We are headed there because as we're told in Scripture, we're headed towards the likeness, conformed to His image of Christ. So we are going to be like Him. What an amazing thing that we are seen as sinless and perfect and righteous and holy. And not only holy, like I've said it over and over, but just to say it, not only do we have peace with God, but we are now fit to be in God's presence. Just like His Son is. He's treating us like He treats His Son. And we have that blessing. And so if we have that understanding, then what do? What's the result? We purify ourselves. We give ourselves to growing, to being, to maturing, to forsaking the world, to being sanctified by the Word of God, to loving our brother, confessing our sins. We want sin out of our lives so that we might know Him and understand Him even more. We speak and know the gospel, and we testify of Christ. 1 John 4, we've talked about this already. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If we get that proper, then we can probably get rid of every other false doctrine and false teaching. They just simply don't get Christ properly. He's God. He's eternal. He's always been. He saves sinners. His blood was shed. It's not by works. We can't earn our salvation. Because if we earn our salvation, then His death was in vain. These are very simple things. Like I know you guys are just like, yeah, that's obviously. That's not how it is in other churches, right? It's not how it is. It's very simple. Like I just went through the gospel in 25 words, and that's not simple. I'm going to have to stop and argue about why Christ isn't eternal. Like, no, He was in the beginning. We can't work for our salvation. Ephesians 2. We can't, you know, Galatians tells us if Christ died, if we have to be made perfect by the law and Christ died, then Christ died in vain. You just said that what God did was worthless, that we somehow have to earn salvation. Just cut it straight. Just let God speak for Himself. That's the other blessing that we have. That's another blessing you can add on there. We let God speak for Himself. We let God command us to be obedient. We let Him tell us what we need to do. We should add on to that. We have hopefully have faithful shepherds that tell us exactly the same thing. Don't obey a man. Obey what God has said. And here's what God is saying from His word. From His word. We speak and we know the gospel and we testify of Christ. That's chapter 4. We know that they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. But we are of God. He who knows God hears us. Here's the apostles. Here's the teaching of the apostles and of those that wrote, the prophets. And he who is not of God does not hear us, I'm sorry. But we know, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If we say, what you're saying is not in here, and they can continue to tell you, well, yeah, but this is what God means. You're just never going to get to the end. You're just never going to be able to agree with that person. It's going to be very difficult until the light comes on. But Peter tells us, you hold on. You hold on until the light shines. You hold on until you understand it. One thing I accepted as a young believer was that I'm just going to accept what this is. I may not understand it. I may not know it all. I may not be able to put it all together. But I'll continue to read this, and I'll continue to trust this. And so now what I'm doing today is a result of having trust in what God has said. Like, I know that it may cost, I may know that it may cause problems, but this is what the Bible says, and this is what I'm going to hold to. We love God's people because He redeemed them as well as us. That's 1 John chapter 5. And we already talked about that as well. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. In verse 5, verse 1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him, God, who He begot, also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Loving your brother and your sister whom God has saved is not a burden to you. It's not difficult for you, because you've realized you've been received as one of God's children. So I use those as the mercies. There's obviously many, many more in 1 John, but I wanted to just kind of remind you of some of the mercies that we get, what we would tell a new believer. We would tell a new believer that you can know the truth, that you have fellowship with the apostles, that you confess your sin, that you have an advocate with the Father. We keep God's commandments. We love our brothers. We've learned to overcome sin. We know the Scripture. We know the Scriptures. We no longer love the world. We aren't deceived by false teaching. We can understand God's word. We purify ourselves and we abstain from sins and we obey the Lord. That's a blessing that we have, a mercy that we have. We can do these things. We can truly keep our lives spotless and unstained from the world. We show love in deeds as well as words to our brothers. We speak and know the gospel and we testify of Christ. What a blessing that when we hear another gospel, we're like, no, that is not the truth. That is not what Christ has done for us on the cross. And we love God's people because He redeemed them as well as us. Those are the blessings. Those are the mercies that we have. We're able to keep God's word. We're able to obey Him and keep His commandments. And God says that that is showing love. So our new mind that Paul is urging us to, we're going to get into the transformed mind next week. I have another thing of the greatness of God's mercy, the blessing of being holy, the blessing of being able to worship the Lord. There's going to be a whole group of blessings that we now have because our mind has changed. We now walk differently as a new believer. We have these things that we talked about in John. We talked about the old man and the new man, which is what we talked about for the last few weeks, which is we no longer desire the sins and the things of this world. We now have been changed. Our heart has been changed. Now we need to work on our minds. We need to work on our mouths. We need to start speaking graciously with one another, right? Put off the old man, put on the new. And we have these blessings that we love, that we know God, that we hear His word, that we have His truth. And so what we're going to talk about next week is now the blessings of a transformed mind, a transformed heart. This metamorphosis, this change that we have in us. And we're going to see how great God's mercy is, even more so. Because we're going to see the mercy that we've been given through Christ. We're going to see the mercy to be changed, and how He changed even the most wicked of us. He changed us. what a blessing of his mercy that he would look upon our sin and say, that was a time of ignorance, like he told Paul, like Paul tells us. I was in ignorance and unbelief, but God had great mercy on me. We'll go to 1 Timothy and we'll read Paul's account again. Because at the end of that, we have a doxology of who Christ is, who God is, the great one. That God's mercy is so great, he deserves praise and he deserves worship all the time. But he's great because he could forgive a murderer. He could forgive a Paul. And he could change him. And so that's us. That's us. We're wicked people, and yet God has called us children. Okay? Any other questions or comments? Feel free to write them down. Feel free to, we'll share them again next time as you've kind of thought through these things, and we'll open up next week going through the transformed mind. Good? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, to be transformed by it, to see the blessings of being in you, of abiding in you. We see the opportunity to know your word and to have fellowship with the apostles who walked with you and who beheld you, who saw you. Both John and Peter and James, they all saw you transfigured on the mountain. And yet they tell us we have the prophetic word made sure, which we would do well to heed as a light that shines in the darkness. I pray that we would be faithful, that you would help us to be faithful, to keep your word and to keep your truth, to walk in them, to love one another, to be sanctified, to overcome, to confess our sin, to have truth in our lives, to walk in truth, to not love this world, to love the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters whom you've redeemed. And I pray that we would do so today, that we would put these things into practice, that our love would be fervent for one another, that we would hate what is evil and we would cling to what is good. And I thank you that these are all possible. These things are all possible because you have transformed us and changed us, and you are making us into the likeness of your Son. Thank you for this great mercy that what we couldn't do, you're doing for us by your Spirit and by your Son. Thank you, Father, for your great plan and your great mercy. We look forward to talking about that in Paul's conversion next week. Thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.